That was good. Thank you, guys. Thank you, Ben. I'm so thankful all the time for you guys to know the work you're putting in and to know the time you're putting in. And thank you, Landon, for leading us today. Harrison's out because of being at a funeral with his family member, and we need to keep him in our prayers and our thoughts as we pursue today. But I'm grateful. I'm grateful you stepped up and were humble enough to lead us, man. So I'm encouraged by that. Welcome, church family. How's your week? How's it going? Good week? Yeah? Yeah, I've had a good week so far. It's been a few hours, but it's been good, and I'm pumped to be here with you guys. Welcome, guests in the room. It's just some faces I haven't seen in a while, and I'm grateful that you guys are here. Welcome, live stream guests. We're always pumped you're here and watching, and you're going to see this next week because we're doing a replay service, but we pray that God's been with you this whole week up until the time you're watching this, and that God uses this word to change your life, because that's what he intends to do. Whenever we hear the word of God, he intends to change us and make us more like him. And so, guys, just remember, in the seat backs in front of you, there's response cards, and on the back, there's a place to respond if God ever wants you to kind of take a step, lead you to take a step, and maybe you want to find out more about salvation or baptism or church membership, or do you have a question about something we said today that you didn't understand, and you couldn't just raise your hand and ask it because it wasn't that type of setting, or you need counsel, anything like that. If God leads you, write it on the back of that card during the service, and we'll have a time at the end where we collect the offering plates, and you can place it in there, and we'll definitely get back to you, and it can be a good way for us to connect and grow together. So I'm excited to continue to start 2021, I keep wanting to say 2021 off with a series of retro messages, and Tim and I are going to be doing that for the next numerous weeks. I'm pumped about that. This morning and the next few weeks, we'll actually be studying through the book of James. And today, we're going to be in James chapter 1, 19 through 21, with a message entitled, The Keys to Receive God's Word. The Keys to Receive God's Word. So let me ask a question of everyone in the room. Okay, so how many of you guys have ever wanted to win the lottery? Yeah, have anybody attempted that before? I know my wife has been spending her whole life desiring to win the lottery, and we talk about it, and we get tickets sometimes when we go into places that have it, okay? And what if someone came along and knew the exact way to win the lottery? They knew the code. They knew the steps and to find out the right numbers to write in so that you could win the lottery. And they offered to tell you the way, all right? But in order to obtain it, you had to follow everything they said verbatim, every step of the way. Would you listen closely? Would you listen closely? Would you pay attention to what they were saying? Some of you might like roll your eyes and be like, nah, there's no way. But what if it was real? What if it's true? What if they had actually won it? What if they had actually showed people? I don't know about you, but I'd probably be like every word, hanging on every word they said. And I would get out my notes app in my phone and I'd be like, all right, let's do this. Let's write it down. Okay, say the first thing. And they would say it. Hold on. Don't move on. I'm gonna write that down. Let me get every word you're saying, because I would want to win it, and I would be in it to win it, right? And I would go through that process, and eventually we'd get there. And I think for those of you who really believed that he was telling the truth, you'd probably be the same way, right? Hold on, don't move on. Let me get every bit of what you're saying. I want to listen. I want to hear. I want to understand. You would pay attention to that person's wisdom. Well, as a Christian, we know that there's no greater lottery that we could win, no greater treasure that we could pursue other than knowing and receiving the treasure of God's word to us. We know that, right? God's word is the revelation of God to himself, his nature, his character, his deeds, what he's done, what he's doing, what he will do. In his word, we understand why we were made. We find our identity. We find our purpose. In God's words, he holds the keys to life and godliness. And in this book, we have everything we need. As 2 Timothy 3:16-17 says, all scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, reproof, correction, training in righteousness, that a man of God may be complete, equipped with every good work. So we could be fill in all the voids, all the things we're missing. We could be complete people if we pursue this word of God like a treasure that we pursue after. Ultimately, it displays God's plan to redeem sinful mankind and bring us back to himself through the death and resurrection of God's son, Jesus, which we sang about in numerous songs, right? We get to know God's plan of salvation through God's word, the way of eternal life to all who put their faith in Jesus, okay? And it's through salvation that we don't have to fear anything that the world can bring to us. Not persecution, trial, circumstance. We don't have to fear even death because we know we have life forever in Christ. So when James, the just brother of Jesus, was writing to his Jerusalem church, members who were dispersed throughout the region because of extreme persecution, it must have been really good news to hear about this hope of salvation, this treasure of God's word, and how to receive it, right? How to really have it and understand it, have it implanted in you. It must have been like a treasure to those who were facing every type of trial as they were being tested for their faith. And James knew that receiving God's word was the answer to all of the problems that anybody was facing, all of the multicolored trials that people were going through, his church members. And as a good pastor, he was trying to instruct them and say, look, guys, we've got to receive this word. And not just at the beginning to be saved, to have salvation, be justified. Not just that, but we have opportunities just like the first century church to come into rooms like this and open God's breathed word and receive it, hopefully. Hopefully receive it, right? Not just hear it and let it pass through your brain and go through one ear and out the other, but actually receive it, make it part of us, and make us complete like God's word promises it, that it will. Okay? And so James begins as a good pastor to lay out very shortly into his letter. He talks about the trials. He talks about the things that they're facing. He talks about the purpose, but then he talks about the answer to it. He begins to lay out the keys to receive God's word for his people. Let's read in chapter 1, verse 19 through 21. He says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to listen." How many people? Every person, right? Let every person be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word which is able to save your souls. All right, so James begins to lay out the keys to receive God's word. Let's pay attention. Okay, first key to receive God's word is to, number one, position your heart to listen. Position your heart to listen. He says that right there at the beginning. Know this, beloved brothers, let every person be quick to listen. Quick to hear, right? Oh, if we could get this right. In 2021, gone are the days where we value hearing a person's perspective that is different than our own, right? We've seen it. We've seen it play out. Man, yeah, I don't know if you heard the news just a few days ago, but the president of the United States, the most powerful person in all of the world that was elected 4 years ago by over half the population in America, the person that we should want to hear from at all times, the person that we look to for guidance and direction, as the king of our country, right, our king of our democracy, he was actually permanently banned from speaking on Twitter, a personal social media feed where he expressed his thoughts and feelings about the issues going on in today's world. He's actually banned from it, okay? And that's amazing to me that the president of the United States could be banned from speaking on his own personal social media feed, right? It's amazing. We live in that kind of world. Christians today are being banned on social media platforms for our perspectives on everything, including the coronavirus, gender, marriage, issues of morality, all things that we've long spoke for and we've made known based on God's word, our beliefs. Christians are being banned. Podcasts are being shut down. They're having to find alternate routes for communicating. Okay, we're in a heightened culture of shutting down dissenting voices, right? We're not in a culture that values hearing perspectives that don't line up with our own, right? Opposing ideas are to be protected from, not heard and considered. Our society values putting the fingers in our ears when someone else is speaking, unless it's someone we know will validate our opinion or the opinion of the majority, right? This is the opposite of what James says here, though. Listen to what he says. He says, be quick to listen. Not quick to close your ears, not quick to shut down, not quick to protect, but quick to listen, okay? All right? And so when it says it here, like, who needs to be quick to hear? Who needs to be quick to hear? It says everyone. Everyone needs to be quick to hear. Everyone. So whoever you are in this room, this is something you need to pursue. And this is true of our world. We need to have a world of people that are quick to listen. And if we had that world, things might be a little different. But it's only through the Spirit we can understand these things. Okay? Everyone, even the wise, even the leaders, even pastors like myself, even the self-made YouTube millionaires that want everyone to hear them speak on their vlogs at all times of the day, all of those people, in order to hear God's word, they got to be people that are ready to listen intently. James is telling us that the only way we're going to be able to sort through the lies and receive truth about what's going on, about what we were created for, is to position our hearts to listen. Well, you might say, what do you mean position your heart? And listen with your ears and listen with your heart. And I would reply, listen, if your heart's not into hearing, it doesn't matter what sounds, make it to your ears, nothing's going to get through there. Okay? Your hearts have to be in it. You have to desire to hear other perspectives. You have to desire to hear the truth. And Christians, according to God's word, are people who truly desire to hear from God's word. Psalms 1 talks about it, that we're the people that hunger and thirst after God's word. We plant ourselves by the rivers of God's word daily so that we can hear it. Psalms 119 talks about this, that we've hid the words of God in our hearts so that we might not sin against God. We're people that should get after it, right? Meditate it. Meditate on it day and night. We're those kind of people. We're to take a stance as though that of a listener that wants to hear answers and solutions that are counter to everything we hear in the world around us. This counter to the sinful nature that still seeks to gain a foothold in our psyche every chance it gets. We're meant to be people that hear God's word and long for it, run to it. It says, quick to hear, okay? It's a posture. It's the posture. It's the stance we take. I'm going to come into every interaction with God's word ready. I want to hear this. I have to get this in me, okay? And I go through this. Anybody who's ever had kids, you know it can be hard sometimes to be heard, to be heard by them. Okay, and so sometimes it's the parents' fault. We got to learn how to communicate better and get down to their level. And I get that. Like we're all growing in those things. Some of us have arrived, right? You know, and got there. But kids with instruction, I face this all the time. It's funny. It's like the moment the words start coming out of my mouth, it's like that old saying, squirrel. Squirrel, their attention goes somewhere else. Like I'm telling them something they need to hear, their attention goes somewhere else. It may be the TV that's on, and they'll be gazing, you know, kind of dumbfoundedly into watching the TV, and I'm like trying to instruct them, and all of a sudden I realize that they're not paying attention to the word I'm saying. They're listening to somebody else. That they're more interested in what the TV has to say than than my instructions or my guidance on how to clean the house or, you know, not make mistakes or, you know, whatever the things is that I'm trying to say. Okay. I'll be talking about the importance of being kind to one another, and honestly, they'll look straight into my face and sincerely say, "Daddy, what are we having for dinner?" Because their attention was, you know, yeah, kids are. They just have a short attention span. I was that way. We were all that way, right? We get off. We don't always want to listen. And we don't come into interactions like that ready to listen. Okay? Get the blank stares. Now, we know kids are naturally inclined to not value listening to hard things. We all agree with that. But can I be honest with us? Neither are adults, right? We have the same issues. I mean, some of you have already stopped listening to what I'm saying, and you're thinking about what we're gonna have for lunch in a little while, right? Like we've checked out, some of us, right? Let's just be honest, because it's hard to hear things that are true, that challenge our point of view and that make us have to move and change, all right? But Christians are people who prioritize listening intently in order to understand. We run to it. We run to God's word. We're quick to listen because that's the first step to receiving God's word. We have to pursue this. We have to pursue this in our life. Okay, so key number one, to receive God's word, position your heart to listen. Number two, flee from the need to argue. Flee from the need to argue. So we run and position our hearts to listen. We flee from the need to argue. Verse 19 says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear and slow to speak." Slow to speak. You ever been in a crowded room trying to give instructions to a lot of people? Anybody ever been in that situation? As a pastor, I get put in that situation a lot. "Hey, everybody!" And I get everybody to be quiet, and I got to tell them, you know, where the food is, and we're going to pray, we're going to do all this is what you need to know. And invariably, what always happens is there's like this pocket of people over here, right? That just feel like the moment I start giving instruction, they just check out, you know, and they start talking to each other and they start laughing really loud with one another. And like nobody can hear what I'm saying because they're talking so loud. You know, like in every setting and situation, there's somebody like that, right? Well, you know, if I were to go back after the fact and say, "Hey, did you hear what I said?" You know, obviously the answer would be no, right? They wanted to talk. They didn't want to hear what I have to say anymore. And I don't think they're always trying to be rude. It's just how we are, right? Like we have our own agenda. We have our own thing. When people start to talk, all right? But even worse, you know, there's people in your life that always want to be right, that always know the right answer, right? Have you ever met that type of person? You're talking and you're trying to go through and communicate with them something that's really important to you, and it's like they're just waiting for the last word to instantly come out of your mouth so that they can chime in because they have something to say. They haven't been listening to you. They're like, okay, finish talking. All right, now that you're finished, I'm going to tell you what I've been meaning to tell you the whole time. And I've been thinking about that the whole time because I've been trying to get an argument ready to refute everything you're about to say. Like you have those people in your life, right? We all do. And I'm that person often. I have to like repent of that all the time. Let me just be real with you guys. Okay? But often, people approach God's word the same way. It's not just about their communication with people. They approach God's word the same way. They're coming at it, not to hear what it has to say, but they're coming at it to argue. All right? We know atheists. I talk to atheists all the time. Talk to an atheist. They know a lot of scripture. They have it memorized. They know where it is. They can tell you all about it. And if you're not on your toes, Christian, they could show you verses you've never heard before and verses you've never considered. And they know how to take them out of context because if you don't know the context, they can get you really, really, really confused. I'm telling you, I've met a lot of them. okay? But they aren't listening to God's word and reading it in order to wrap their life around it. They're listening to try to find the inconsistencies in it in order to prove God's word wrong and then validate it so they don't have to listen to God and follow it. That's their intention. There's people like that all the time. It invariably happens, okay? But yeah, we know atheists are that way, but we also need to know that our hearts, if we're not in check and we're not in a state of repentance, we're inclined to do the same thing. We have our own views. We have our own thoughts about things that we've accumulated over time when we've taken the worldly perspective and all the things in the TV and the media and everywhere around us, and we've kind of accumulated these ideas and brought them together and brought our worldview into perspective, and then we come to the Bible instead of being quick to listen and hear the truth and just empty slate, right? Just take God's word for what it says. Instead, we bring our own ideas and we try to make it and twist it and turn it into the thing that we want to hear. Or when it gets really bad, we say, just like the woman said in the garden, did God really say? Just like the serpent said, did God really say? Did he really say that about gender? Did he really say that about sexuality and sexual morality? Did God really say those things? And if we're not careful, we become people that just want to argue with God's word and want to find all the things it's not saying so that we don't have to follow, so we can invalidate it. Instead of being people that say, you know what, I just need to know truth. I just need to hear it. Pastors need to be careful of it all the time. We have to. So often we have our own ideas and our own agenda of what we want to say, instead of going to scripture and just saying, God, tell me what your word says. Show me, make it clear. I only want to say that. We come in and bring our own agenda and our own message into it. It's something I have to pray against all the time. Okay? Bible says in order to receive God's word, you have to be quiet. You have to be quiet. You have to quit arguing with it and receive it and listen. Be ready to hear. Then it says this in our next key. So number one, keys to receive God's word. Position your heart to listen. Number two, flee from the need to argue with it. Number three, retire the desire to be angry. Get rid of it. Put that away. All right, he says, know this. My beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Slow to anger. I'm gonna tell you, anytime, I don't know if you've experienced this. Being married puts me in the situation all the time where there's often times where I want to hear from my wife. I want to communicate. I'm like, hey, what's going on? Hey, tell me what's wrong with me. Tell me my sin. Tell me my flaws. God put you in my life to show me things about myself that nobody else could show me. Because you know me intimately. We live together. And we do this thing. And I'm like, just tell me. And then the moment she starts telling me what she really thinks, what happens? You know, like the rage monster turns on in my side myself, and I just want to like get mad at what do you mean? You do the same things. What? Hold on. You're so inconsistent. How can you have integrity and say that? You know, like we do that in life all the time. Really tell me. Person who loves me, rage monster. You know, we're angry. And again, it's our nature. We're prone to be angry when we hear truth, when we hear things that we don't want to hear, when we hear things that we really need to hear. And the word says this, it's like a sword that cuts deep to the marrow. It like cuts us open. It reveals our true self and our true nature. You know, and anything that cuts deep and like opens you up, it's gonna hurt a little bit. And you know, people's knee-jerk response to pain and hurt is just anger, right? You ever been around a person that's in constant pain? They're usually an angry person, right? Well, it's that way with people spiritually often, because we don't want to hear the things that God wants us to change and do. We want to stay the same. We want to be validated, right? Often. It'll be people that are slow to anger. We've got to retire that desire. That's a desire that's going to be within you. That's always boiling there. It's a beast you've always got to tame. It's never going to go away without God intervening through the Spirit and giving you new desires to humble yourself and receive the truth of God's word. We have to be people that run from anger. And we've seen this play out last year, man. Different ideas, different perspectives, enmity, riots, friendships broken, relationships destroyed, churches split. Angry people, man. 2020 was all about angry people not wanting to hear ideas that challenged their way of life. And I'm going to tell you, like, the word of God, it cuts deep. It gets to the core. It doesn't pull any punches. Jesus never did. Paul never did. James for sure didn't. Like, read James. John, his brother, even worse sometimes. Go read 1 John, 2 John, 3 John. Oh, man. Hard stuff. But this is the thing. It's loving. It's loving. God wants to discipline his children because we're his children. He doesn't want us to stay the same. He doesn't want us to stay in the mess. But in order to receive that truth and that discipline, we have to be people that run from anger. So, keys to receive God's word. Position your heart to listen. Number two, flee from the need to argue. Number three, retire the desire to be angry. And number four, value God's statutes of righteousness. Value them. Okay? Value God's statutes of righteousness. 19 goes on to say this. Notice, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. What's he saying? You want your own way. You want your own sinful way. That's why you get angry when God's word's spoken and it challenges you. You don't want to follow God. That's your sinful nature, okay? But the Spirit will always push you to righteousness. Spirit of God's goal is to get you to look and act and think like Jesus. All right? In order to be that kind of person, you got to be a person that actually values righteousness above other things. You got to value doing what God sees is right. It's hard, right? Earlier I said the verse from Psalms that says, I've hid your word in my heart so that I might not sin against you, God. We have to be those kind of people. To say, I want to understand what's wrong, and I want to understand God's perspective of what's right, and I want to wrap my life around it at all costs, whatever it means. Whatever it means I give up, whatever it means I have to purge from my life, whatever it means that the vocabulary that needs to go from my life, all the things, whatever it takes, I'm going to pursue righteousness at all costs. By any means necessary, I value that, right? Because anger and frustration towards God and the pursuit of other things will never lead or produce the righteousness of God. They'll never lead to it. Only a person that's quick to hear, that wants to understand, gets after it, okay? God's desire is to make us pure and clean. And produce in us righteousness that we can't do on our own. The word down deep can do it, implanted in us. Okay? So the keys to receive God's word. Position your heart to listen. Flee from the need to argue. Retire the desire to be angry. Value God's statutes of righteousness. And number five, lay aside your pride. Lay aside your pride. Okay? It says in verse 21, therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Receive with meekness. Meekness is humility, right? On display. I have no defense. Just whatever you say, I'm here. I'm humbled. Like you're bigger than me. You're greater than me. What do you have to say to me? Get low. Meekness. Right? And it says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. All right? The Bible's always like this, and you'll see this. God's word will always instruct us to put away something and then put on something else. Right? Put away and then take on. All right? So that's the key to repentance. The key to repentance is turn the other way from this and turn to this and go after it with all your might. Right? Turn away from yourself and turn to God. Turn away from your plan for your life, pride. Turn to God. Right? And we see this all the time. And that's why I say lay aside your pride. Pride's the root of all sin. Pride's the root of all filthiness and rampant wickedness. It happened in the garden, where the woman and the devil, ultimately happened before the garden. The devil wanted to be just like God, right? Instead of humble himself, he wanted to elevate himself and take over. And then he was cast out, and then he came down and put the same trickery on humankind and asked the woman, you sure God knows what he's doing? You sure God's got your best interest in mind? You sure God, like, gets it? You sure? You sure he's telling the truth? And what did humans do? We believed it. We believed the lie. And in our own pride, we sought to be like God and know the things that God knew, know right and wrong for ourselves. And then because of that, the curse of sin has infected us ever since. It was our own pride, not believing God and trusting God, but pursuing our own way that led to every sin that followed, okay? All the sin by different names, greed and lust and murder, envy, on and on. Every sin that followed was a result of our own pride. But in order to receive God's word, we have to put that aside. And he gives two examples of what we need to put aside. We need to put away filthiness. We desire, as humans, to be unclean, to do filthy things, to put filthy stuff into our minds, to look at filthy things with our eyes, to pursue filthy things with our money and our time. We're naturally bent and inclined, as human beings, to do those things at all times. It's always there, a battle that we'll struggle with, right? But in order to receive God's word, we've got to put that away, okay? We've got to put away rampant wickedness. Wickedness, a desire for evil, a desire to do the opposite of righteousness, okay? But in our pride, we choose filth over holiness, right? It's a lot easier to choose the filthy things than it is to pursue being set apart and clean, to allow the Spirit to do the work that he's promised that he will do, to wash us and regenerate us and renew us, right? In our pride, we choose wickedness over righteousness. But in order to receive the word, we have to first put those things away. All right? So let's put those things away. Run from it. Repent. Desire righteousness. Desire it above all things. Desire to be right with God. It says this, therefore put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word. I love this picture here, okay? So like you got something you're holding on to, right? You're holding on to these things that are not good for you, things that aren't satisfying you, things that don't honor God, things that don't bring peace, that don't bring joy. You're holding on to them really tight. And he says, put them away and receive. Right? I want everybody to do something for me. Everybody put your hands in your pockets for me. Just do it. Just go with me. I know. All right. You won't get injured, I promise. No congregation members were injured in the filming of this live stream service. So, all right. You ever tried to catch something with your hands in your pockets? All right, here, I'm gonna throw you the Bible. You ready? You ready, Zach? Keep your hands in your pockets, but catch it. Okay, you ready? Oh, I'm not gonna do that to you. I told you I wouldn't injure you. All right, you ready? You guys ready? I'm gonna throw it. You're gonna get it. You're gonna catch it. You're gonna receive it. You can't. I'm gonna clue you in. You can't. It's not gonna happen. Maybe with your teeth. Maybe with your teeth. It's not gonna happen. Okay? All right, better yet, you can take your hands out of your pockets. All right, let's fill it with all the stuff that's important with us, right? All right, you can grab your iPhones if you want. Put them in your pocket. Put them in your hands, I'm sorry. You can do that. If you're not an Apple person, you can get your Galaxy out. I'm fine with that. And hold that tight. That's a really important possession to us, right? It gets us everywhere. It's the key to everything, right? It's the key to all the knowledge. We got Google on there. Who needs the Bible? Man, that even has the Bible on it, right? Let's add your college football gear and your season tickets. Let's add that. Hey, man, let's put like a 65-inch TV on there. I love my TV. I don't know about you, right? Designer clothes and shoes, your makeup, your possessions. Let's throw those things on there. The keys to your ride, okay? The keys to your house. Let's fill it up. All right, we got this thing. We got this thing full now of all the stuff that's really important to us, that we really value. All right, let me give you a big pile of money. Let's throw that on there. Okay, now I've got God's word. All right, you ready? You got your pile? You ready? I'm gonna throw God's word to you. You ready? Can you catch it? You gonna get it? You gonna be able to receive it? Right? Listen. Our hands are so busy being clenched and holding on to our loved things and the pride of life. All right? And I'm not saying all of those things were sinful in and of themselves. We love those things, guys. We value those things very high. For many of us, we value them way higher than righteousness because a lot of those things lead us right to filth. They lead us right to rampant wickedness, all right? We value that stuff, and we wonder why we come into God's word and we hear it every Sunday, and we leave and go and eat lunch and forgot everything the pastor said. You know? There's so often I could ask, like my kids and my friends and people that just really love God's word, be like, hey, what'd you think of what we talked about? Hey, can you remind me? Like, it was 30 minutes ago, man. I repeated the points 5 times so that you would hear them, you know? And I'm the same way. I'm going to tell you, I'm the same way with really important things. We're so full, we can't receive. And what God's saying is you gotta put that away, all right? Put that, the love of all that, that filth and that pride, put it away and be ready. All right, come in with a posture ready to receive God's word. Go into your Bible study time ready. No, like not distracted, not like trying to get it in real quick before you have to go back to work and you're thinking about all the things you got to do. Like, come in ready, like pumped. I got to hear. This is the way to righteousness. I've got to know this. Okay? I'm not going to argue with it. I'm not going to be frustrated with it. That's not going to lead to righteousness. I'm being ready. Okay? So many people, our hands are so busy being clenched, holding on to our love of things and the pride of life, let alone all of the sin and the love of possessions, the love of things. Love of all these things to change our appearance and make us look better to everyone in the world. Really bad things, love of pornography, rampant wickedness, the love of sexual stuff that we get to see on the internet, love of pleasure and pursuing pleasure at all costs, that we can't receive the very thing that all of life is about. We can't receive God's word because our hands are full. Put it away. He goes on to say this, and this is the reason why. This is like the magnitude of it. Listen to this. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness. Humble yourself. Get low. I'm ready, God. Receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able, listen to what it's able to do, which is able to save your souls. This word has the power to save your soul. That's what we believe this is. That if you put your faith in the words that are here, the revelation of God's actual breathed word to us, if you put your faith in this, your soul will be saved from damnation. It'll be saved to life eternal. That's the thing that we get to learn from every time we have our Bible study and every time we come into this room. It can save our souls. It's amazing. That's powerful, guys. I'm telling you. Like, it's amazing to see conversations with people that I go into, and I go in and I just tell them, hey, this is what the gospel says. Somebody that is hates Jesus, hasn't wanted to have anything to do with Jesus, but for some reason we cross paths in some random way, right? And I get to come in, they're like, what are you all about? Let me tell you God's word, okay? And like, let me tell you, there's a part of me inside of myself that's almost like wanting to argue with some of the things that I know are true, right? Like I'm trying to like make the Bible more palatable to them. And I'm like, man, let me be really careful about not saying that really hard thing because they might get angry and then they're not going to want to hear the rest of it because the Bible's able to save their souls, right? Like, let me water it down. But like in my spirit, often God will lead me and say, no, like go, this is the thing. I'm powerful. I'm more powerful than their desire. I'm more powerful than their experience. I'm more powerful than their circumstance. God's word is more powerful than all of those things. And you just go for it, and you tell them the truth of the gospel, in the gospel that we are sinners, condemned to die, that we've chosen our own way. There's nobody else's fault that we're in this predicament than we are. It's not the world's fault. It's not your parents' fault. It's not your upbringing's fault. It's not society's fault. It's not culture's fault. It's not any of those things. It's our fault. Individually, we've all chosen to reject God, and we started at an early age, but God had a plan to redeem us and bring us back to himself. He sent his only son. He didn't let us stay in our mess. He sent his only son, Jesus, who took on human flesh, dwelled among us, took on the plight of us so that he can empathize with us in every way, every circumstance, every way that we've been tempted and tried. He's gone through it, Hebrews says, and he's a high priest that overcame it. Yet without sin, he overcame those things. He lived the perfect life we couldn't live. And then we, as humanity, killed him on a cross in the most heinous, torturous way possible. Put him to death because the world didn't want to hear an opposing view to their own worldview. Right? Didn't want to hear the weird words that Jesus was saying that nobody else had said. They didn't want to hear those things. Put him to death. And he stayed in the grave, right? No. He got up. And we say, all hail King Jesus. He took the right hand throne of God. He's seated there, king above all kings, defeated death. And the gospel is this, that if you put your faith in Jesus, you can be saved from your pride and saved from yourself and live a life of joy forever in the presence of God, and he will change you through his word. And that's what happens. The gospel, you'll say it to people, and all of a sudden, if it's the person that God's predestined to put their faith in God, you're going to see their face change, and they'll be like, oh man, all their defenses go down. They're going to receive it. They're going to become humble. It's amazing what the word of God does. I've seen people that hate God go straight from hating God to being God worshipers, and it was nothing other than the word being powerful, cutting deep, exposing everything the way it needed to be, making all the things that they've been questioning click. The word is powerful. It can save your souls. And we know that as Christians. We know that. Yet, we come into places like this so often. Yeah. Let's get to lunch. Yeah. I got other things to think about, more problems that are bigger than what you're talking about. Right? We do that. We know it can save our souls, but we don't realize that God isn't just stopping there. He's got some bigger stuff in mind, guys. He wants to change us. He wants us to glorify him and live for that purpose that we were created for. He's going to do it. He's going to cut deep. All right? We got to be people that run to that. We got to be people that don't miss these meetings. We got to be people that saturate ourselves with God's word at all costs, because we want to pursue righteousness at all costs. We got to be people that don't take for granted that we got a Bible sitting on our desk and our lamp and on our table or wherever it is. We've got to sit in there. It's the breathed word of God that's able to save our souls. We've got it available to us at all times, whenever we have a question, whenever we have a need. And we got people in our lives that understand it really well if we don't understand it, that we can run to and ask questions. God has made himself available to us in a powerful way. It's amazing, right? It's amazing. Pretty cool stuff that James had for his congregation in the middle of trials and persecution. And he has for us today. I love going back to James. So thankful that it's hard stuff, man. It's like a gut punch. It really is. It's just like, bam, bam. But that's so we can get low, right? Like he punched us in the gut. We get low and we can receive this stuff. My prayer for us is that we'll be people that receive God's word. And for some of you, it may be that you need to receive it for the first time in a way that you never have. You need to put your faith in Jesus today. You need to give it all. You quit holding it back. Quit arguing with it. Quit getting angry at the truth of what God's word has to say. It's time to receive it today. I want to go into response time and I want the band to come, but like I began to say just now, that you may be a person that you need to receive this for the first time. I'm going to tell you, there's no greater feeling of relief and joy that comes than saying, I'm going to put my faith in Jesus. I remember that feeling for so long. It's like this fear. It's almost like jumping into a really cold pool. You're like, have you ever experienced that? And you're like, oh man, it's really cold. You know, that's tough. I don't know. Let me just put it off for a little bit. You know, and you just like kind of run to the edge. No, I'm not going to do that. You know, you do that deal, and you spend months and years sometimes. You know, kids. I know. Like you spend so many years of your life just wondering, like, am I ready to give it all to Christ? Do I really believe this stuff? But there's no greater feeling than when you decide through Christ's power is working in your life to surrender your life to Christ. There's so much joy. There's a peace that passes all understanding. It's just like the Bible says. The Bible is true. I've experienced it. And you, for those of you who have experienced the same thing, you can testify to it. You know what I'm saying. This is amazing. It's amazing what God does. It says, in 2 Corinthians, what we've been learning from, that says today is the day of salvation, and for you, today could be the day. Guys, but there's also a bunch of Christians in this room. And God's calling us to shut our mouths this year. Quit talking so much. We need to be people that listen intently, like posture our hearts in these situations, okay? Shut your brains off from talking to your own self and be ready to hear, okay? And when we come into this room, we need to be ready to hear. When we come in on Wednesday nights and in our exchange groups, we need to be ready to hear and consider and pursue, all right? We need to shut off all the noise around us. We need to shut off the TVs. We need to shut off the internet and social media and Facebook and Twitter and Instagram. We need to shut those things off. YouTube for a little bit. And we just need to, go to the source of salvation, right? The thing that we know saved us from death forever. We need to trust it daily to do what God wants to do. Make us into people that reflect righteousness, that so that he can receive so much glory through our lives, because that's what we're created for. We be those kind of people that lay aside the weights, we lay aside the sin, we run to God, and lay aside our pride. So that's my prayer for us this year. And that's what God wants, that's what he says, right? His word's true. Want to know what you're created for? This is what you're created for. This is it. Don't miss it. Miss it. So let's pray. We'll go into a time of response like we always do, where we give our tithes and offerings to reflect that we want to be people that not just listen and let it go through one ear and out the other, but we're people that hear and understand and want our giving to reflect that. Let's pray and do that, and then we'll sing. God, we're grateful. We're grateful for your word. We're grateful for James. We're grateful that you called people out of their mess and you called them into this righteous life, that you opened their eyes and gave them the truth and you spoke to them directly. And we get to read those words, the very God-breathed word. And not only do we get to read it, but we get to know how to receive it on a daily basis. This word that's always available to us, Lord. Help us value it. Change our hearts. Help us move. Lord, help us to quit grabbing on to these things and holding on so tightly. To the things that just bring death. We want to receive everything you are, and everything you are is available to us. Man, you're a merciful God. You're so gracious. Lord, be in our giving time right now, Lord. We want to just reflect that posture of open-handedness and proclaim to you that we're just stewards of everything that you give us, all the blessings you give us, Lord. We want to be people that give what's rightfully yours to you. We give our 10%. We give our offerings because you require that of us. We trust you to go and spread your glory all over the planet, through our church, through all the myriad of ways that you use us, these resources, Lord. We want your glory to go out. Empty us of our pride in these moments. Lord, help us take a step. We love you so much that we're thankful for Jesus and his sacrifice. In your name we pray and sing. Amen. The offering will go around and and then we'll respond.
We are so encouraged that you chose to engage with God's Word on our Provenance podcast. For more biblical teaching, resources, media, and to financially support the mission of Provenance, please visit ProvenanceChurch.com. Until next time, go equip one another to embody humanity's one true purpose.